This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message, please. To visit our website, it is cbcg.org. Holidays versus holy days. And it is really a war. Do you understand it? Some people can accept the weekly Sabbath, such as the Seventh-day Adventist and the Seventh-day Baptist, some other groups. Most Protestant can't. Protestantism can't. Catholicism can't. And very few will accept the holy days. And today we live in a world that amplifies that error even more. Because we live in an age where everybody has an opinion. I know I was watching the news the other night, and old Bill O'Reilly says, "Well, I respect your opinion." You know he didn't. The guy says, "Well, I respect your opinion." And he knows. You know he didn't. See. But this exemplifies what it is. Everyone thinks that his or her opinion, because they have an opinion, that it's got to be right. See? That's the way it is. So when they come to the Bible, they've got a lot of opinions that they've heard out there, a lot of lies that they've heard, which is, well, you know, you don't need to worry about the Old Testament. That's done away. Oh, good. I can do what I want. That's what people want to hear. However, let's look at this opinion as it relates to God and His way versus the other gods of this world and their way. Let's come to 1 Kings 18. And of course, you see, when there's trouble and difficulty, those who obey God are always blamed first, aren't they? That's what happened with Elijah. King Ahab of Israel blamed Elijah for the drought, rather than the fact that Elijah had married Jezebel. Ahab had married Jezebel, the daughter of the priest of Baal. And Baal worship was rampant in Israel. So when it came time for God to bring to them the fact that they had to make a decision. So let's come to 1 Kings 18 and verse 17. Here's what happened when Ahab saw Elijah. Ahab said to him, "Are you the one, or are you he that troubles Israel?" Not always the way. Sounds like Ahab was a Democrat. That doesn't mean that Elijah was a Republican. Okay. Please understand that. Okay. Same tactics, isn't it? You blame everybody else. Okay. Verse 18, and he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, and that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed Balaam." Now, let's understand something about Baal and Balaam. Balaam means various gods called Baal. The "I am" at the end of the word means plural. So they followed many gods. As we go through here, I want you to draw the parallel in this nation today, where we have how many religions and how many gods and how many opinions. And you see, the truth is, once you understand the truth, all the other opinions are worthless. because what they're doing, they're pitting their opinions against the Word of God. Guess who's going to lose? Has anyone ever fought against God and won? Has God ever accepted the opinion of any man over His commandments? No. See, but people don't like that today. They like nice, sweet, smooth things. So here's the contest. So he said, okay, verse 19, therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450. Sounds like our denominations today, right? 450 denominations. I imagine there are over 1,000 in America today by the time you count all the other pagan gods with the pseudo-Christian religions and churches and things like this. And now they have, as I mentioned, they've got these big mega churches. There's even one church down in Texas that is having this mega church, and they are building a huge building to accommodate 35,000 people. And they've got everything in there. They've got gymnasiums. They've got beauty parlors. They have, you know, where you can come in and lift weights or play basketball or play racquetball. Come in and study. Hello? Wonder if they have any Bibles in there. They have little counselings. They have everything in there. They probably have a bookstore where you can buy all your favorite little idols and all your nice little cards and all your sweet little songs that tell you nothing. I got it. Not from a mega church, but I got an email from someone that received one of the Harmony of the Gospels, which, by the way, on that offer for free Harmony, we've sent out over 1,200 already. So, what we send out is the Harmony, a letter thanking them for responding. And it was based upon when was Jesus born. So we send them Christmas, the greatest story never told, and the beliefs booklet. Now, those who are not serious will ignore it. But it will still be in their house. Because the book is so nice, no one's going to throw it away. We haven't had anybody return it. Haven't had any angry mail either. And by the way, there is a movement among some Lutherans and Methodists to dump Christmas. Did you know that? So anyhow, 450 prophets and the prophets of the groves, 400. So that's 850. Yeah, that's about 1,000 like we have. But anyway, this woman in her memo, I need to finish this, in her email to me, said, I am so thankful to find some place where they just teach the Bible. I've gone to so many different churches, and I have surfed the internet until I'm about blind, and I am so glad to be able to study the Bible and have someone speak the truth. So anyway, it was nice to get an email like that, response from someone that you've never heard from. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together to Mount Carmel. Thought, oh, this is going to be a cakewalk. See? And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long you halt between two opinions? That means jump back and forth. And that's what people do. If they need a blessing, they say they trust in God. Otherwise, it's my own opinion. Or, well, this is a quaint thing we need to do, like Christmas and Easter, because we're going to see that the Bible does have an awful lot to say about Christmas and Easter and Halloween. No question about it. They're not what people would like to hear. So he says, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. So he's going to give them the truth, not an opinion. He didn't stand there and say, I've served God all my life, and what I'm telling you is true. Okay, he's got 850 against him, right? Okay, so he says what we're going to do. We're going to take two bullocks. You can read the whole account there. We'll give one to the prophets of Baal. They go ahead and make an altar, and they put their offering on there. Take the other one, I'll make an altar and put my offering on there, and the one that answers by fire, he's God. So, you know what happened. Prophets of Baal chose their bullocks, put it on the altar. No fire under it. Now, you can't put fire under it. Fire's got to come from the one who's God, either God or Baal. And so what they did, verse 26, they took the bullock that was given to them, they dressed it, they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. Now, if you have the Elijah by Mendelssohn, that's quite a catchy tune when it comes to this part. And the choir sings, here is O Baal, here is O Baal. You know, really a catchy thing. Just like the music in the churches today. Like another woman wrote and said, I'm tired of going to church where they play the ping pong balls for singing. You know, they have the music and the words up on the screen, then they got a ping pong ball to lead you to each word. And then in their praise dancing, she says, they stand there with their eyes closed and sway back and forth. She said, I got hypnotized and had to leave. So this is what they're doing, you know, from morning to noon. Here is O Baal, here is O Baal. That didn't work. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. Then they leaped upon the altar. They had the Pentecostals there and the natives. Oh, probably with their feathers, tom-toms, jumping up and down, and leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. Well, so, because if there's one true God, which there is, the others are the figments of the imagination of the minds of men inspired by Satan the devil. So Elijah didn't have to worry. He mocked them. He says, cry aloud, or he's a God. You got a problem, though. Either he's talking. Well, today, you know, you get a busy signal. The phone's off the hook. Or he's pursuing. Or he's on a journey. Or maybe he's sleeping and has to be awakened. So they cried aloud, cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, they prophesied. They're up there preaching until the time of the offering of the sacrifice. Now it says evening offering here, but that is not correct. You will see those words are in italics in the King James. Till the offering of the sacrifice, which is the offering of Elijah's sacrifice. Because the true evening offering would be offered at sunset, and that would be way too late for all the rest of the events that took place. Time of the sacrifice. And there was neither voice, nor any answer, nor any that regarded. So Elijah called all the people. Said, come near to me. All the people came near. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He took 12 stones according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then he built an altar, put the wood on it, put the bullocks on it. And then he said, now we're going to prove a point. you get water. Now, after 3.5 years of drought, water is pretty precious, right? So you get water and you pour it all over the bullocks and all over the wood and all over the alder. And you pour it in there until it runs down and fills the trenches around it. Says, now that you're done with that, do it again. They said, now that you're done with that, do it again. Now, verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the sacrifice. That's what it should read. The one that Elijah was doing. That Elijah the prophet came near and said, now notice how long this prayer is. Anybody have a stopwatch? Okay, count the seconds as I read it. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and that I've done all these things at your word. Hear me now, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their heart back again. 27 seconds. You know why Christ said, don't use vain repetition as the heathen? You have faith in God. You believe God. You know He will hear. Elijah did. How did God answer? Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, licked up the water that was in the trench. Scared everyone to death. And all the people saw it and fell on their faces and said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. But we're going to see. Even though this happened, even though Elijah said, verse 40, take the prophets of Baal and let not one of them escape. They took them. Elijah brought them down to the brook Kidron and slew them there. And Elijah said to Ahab, get you up, eat, drink, for there is the sound of abundance of water. So then it began raining. Now then, what happened to Elijah is what happens to a lot of us. After God intervenes and does something for you and answers a prayer, everything goes fine. Then you get afraid and discouraged. So he did. So after it started raining, someone said, Elijah's coming after you. So he ran away and went on down to Mount Horeb. Hid in a cave. So then God again spoke to him and said, look, don't fear Jezebel. I've got 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. Now you get up and go do what I told you to do. So he did. But this is very typical of people and their opinions about religion and the Bible and God. Now then, let's look at some other scriptures which tell us how we need to approach this. You see. And most people are told that the God of the Bible is a liar. Because when they come to church on Sunday, which is the wrong day anyway, the preacher will get up there and he'll read from the Bible and say, well, God didn't mean what he said. He's calling God a liar. He's saying the Word of God is not true. So I'm going to tell you what's true, the preacher will say. Now, relationship to the holidays, Christmas, Easter, Halloween, whatever other ones they might want to have too. They say, well, it's okay to do. It's a fun thing. And what are all of these things geared around? Now think about it. What are they all geared around? Not only business. That's just part of it. Who are they aimed to or for? The little kids. It's okay because it's fun for the children. You mean you can lie to your children? You think you're going to glorify God by lying to your children? See, God is against all those prophets that prophesy lies in the name of God. Most people aren't willing to hear it. So let's start with some basic scriptures. Number one, you don't even have to turn there. John 17:17, which says, sanctify them with your truth. Your word is the truth. All of it. Not just some of it. Paul wrote that all Scripture is God-breathed. The New NIV says, all Scripture that God has inspired is profitable for doctrine, correction, and so forth. Which opens the door that maybe some things in the Bible were not inspired of God. That is an absolute lie. Everything that, and we prove it in the New Testament we just produced, everything that is in the Bible, every word of the original Hebrew and Greek is God-breathed. Recorded voice of God. Written by men who didn't get this concoction out of their own minds. But they were moved by the Holy Spirit to do exactly what God wanted them to do. Just like the incident we read here of Elijah. So the Word of God is true. Okay, let's come to the book of Titus. Book of Titus, while we're turning there, let's understand something. It says that all men are liars. All men are liars. So when you make God in your image, you're making a lie. All men are liars. Now, Titus 1, and let's just pick it up here in verse 1. We'll read verse 1 and 2. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the ages of time. God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. That's why the God-breathed words of God in the Bible are true. I'm making a very profound point on this, and we're going to look at some other scriptures which also verify this. Because when I read in the Word of God, which is true, what it says about the holidays of this world, you will clearly understand that you cannot worship the God of truth with a lie. You cannot do evil things so that good may come. Let's look at another scripture. Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, verse 18. Now let's go back to verse 17. Here's what God did to show the power of His truth. Verse 17. In this way, God, desiring more abundantly to show the heirs of the promise the unchangeable nature of his own purpose, confirmed it with an oath. That's referring to when Abraham was trying to offer Isaac. And God said, I swear by myself. Then in blessing I will bless. See, so that's how absolute the Word of God is. Firmed by an oath. So that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. One of the quickest ways you can spot a false preacher, even though they're using the Bible, is this. When they get up and they explain something about the Bible and say, well, it doesn't mean what it says. They're liars. Let's look at another one here. John 14 and verse 6. You want to serve Jesus Christ? You want Him to be your Savior? A lot of people profess the name of Jesus Christ. A lot of people say, I'm a Christian. What does that mean? Because there are false Christians. There are false brethren. There are false ministers. So if Jesus is really your Savior, and you really believe in Jesus, here's what He said. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way. So whatever way Jesus said to do and to go, you must do. He is the way to God the Father. No other way. He also said in another place, that He's the door, and if anyone comes in another way, the same as a thief and a robber. And the truth. See, so when we read what it says about holidays, I'm going to read you the truth of God's Word. I'm not going to tell you the good things that people think can come from the lies that they observe. And the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Now let's come to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. So let's look at the Old Testament here, because we're going to come back to the Old Testament, look at a lot of things there. Deuteronomy 32. Let's pick it up right here in verse 1. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Remember, it's impossible for God to lie. My doctrine shall drop down as rain. Good thing. My speech shall distill as the dew. Purity. As a small rain upon the tender herb, just enough water so it will grow and prosper. As the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord and ascribe greatness unto our God. He is the rock, which if you look in your margin, you probably have 1 Corinthians 10:4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. See, God doesn't need any improvement upon His Word. He just wants it translated correctly, that's all. He doesn't need any improvement upon His doctrine. He just needs you to understand it the way He gave it. In all His ways are judgment. A God of truth. No lie. Without iniquity. So you can't worship God in iniquity. And I'll just stay right here. You may want to turn off this tape or pick it up and throw it away or burn it. Or if you're listening to it on the internet, you might want to go someplace else. Because I'm going to tell you straight out the truth. If you worship God on Sunday as a day of worship, and you observe Christmas and Easter and Halloween and all the rest of the pagan holidays of New Year's, you are worshiping God with iniquity. And He doesn't accept that. That's just the way it is. If you don't like it, if you think I'm hard on you, too bad. Take it up with God. Don't take it up with me. God is the one your argument's with. Go argue with Him. Be careful. Fire doesn't come down from heaven. Take care of you. All right, let's go on. Let's go to Psalm 117. Psalm 117. One of the very shortest psalms in the whole book of Psalms. Two little old verses. Verse 1. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise Him, all you people. For His merciful kindness is great toward us. The truth of God endures forever. And God is not going to change His truth to accept the lies of men. Let's look at another one since we're here. Psalm 146, a few pages over. Psalm 146. Let's pick it up here in verse 5. And see, this is contrary to what a lot of people say. A lot of theologians say that God gave the Old Testament as punishment. Did not. Notice verse 5. Happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that therein is, which keeps truth forever. So question, what has been done away? So you need to read in the harmony and also in the New Testament, how did Jesus fulfill the law and the prophets? And then study the comparison between the Old and the New Covenant. See, His truth endures forever. All right, let's come to the New Testament again. Let's come to the book of John. Let's see some important things that are here. Let's look at a confrontation between Jesus, some of His followers, and the religious leaders. John 8. John 8. Let's pick it up here in verse 38. Now let's understand one of the most profound things that you need to realize is this. Satan is the great liar, subverter. And what he loves to do is to come right where the people of God are and turn them away from God. So here, right at the temple where God had placed his name, the priests who were supposed to represent God, scribes and Pharisees who were to teach the people God's word, the descendants that received the blessing of Abraham. But we're going to see they were subverted. And God was not their father. They had another one that they thought was their father. And we will see that's none other than Satan the devil. Now that ought to give you some good cause to think. Who is your God? Is he the God of the Bible, the God of truth? Verse 38, I speak the things that I've seen from my father, and you do the things that you've seen from your father. Remember, this is right at the temple. And they answered and said to him, our father is Abraham. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now, what was it said of Abraham? Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my judgments. Verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man who's spoken the truth to you. And that's what happens, isn't it? Now, pretty soon the movie The Passion is going to be out. And I'm very happy it's coming out. And I saw an interview of the man who played Jesus, and he's not some feminized fink. As a matter of fact, he's a Jew who's a Christian, and there are Christian Jews. And he was 33 years old when he was doing the part. And in the interview, he said that the only way that he could have done this was that he had to get away to a private place and pray every day. And it was done under the threat of death to Mel Gibson by the Hollywood elite and producers who hate God and serve Satan. And when this man said he would accept the role, the next day Mel Gibson called him and says, now, I want you to think about this because you said you would accept the role to play Jesus. He said, you may never work again in Hollywood. And he's had many death threats because you don't want the truth. Because Satan is the God of Hollywood. And so Mel Gibson used his own money. Now from what I've seen of it, except for the long hair, which by the time it's all wet and damp and covered with blood, it's not the long, finky hair that shows on many of the pictures, but be that as it may. But you see, when you really speak the truth, people don't like you. They defame you. They say you're mad, you're hostile, you're angry. No, we're not. Just believe the truth and have conviction of it and live by it. That's why. Okay? He says, I have spoken the truth to you, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You are doing the works of your father. And they said to him, typical? See, they don't have the facts. They never got it straight. They didn't read the Old Testament, which says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child. They were the keepers of the law, but didn't believe it. How many times did Jesus say, have you never read? So they said, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, and that is God. You know, they thought they were serving God, right? They thought they had safety in the fact that they were the children of Abraham, right? They didn't. See, before God, it's not who you are. It is what you are. Therefore, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me because I proceeded forth and came from God. For I have not come of myself, but he sent me. Why don't you understand my speech? Because you cannot bear to hear my words. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you desire to practice. He was a murderer from the beginning, so this goes all the way back to Cain, and has not stood in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own self, for he is a liar and the father of it. When you begin comparing truth with lies, there's bound to be a fight. And because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Now, will you do the same thing when I show you what God says about the beloved Christmas and Easter and Halloween? Or will you shrug it off and say, well, that's okay. Our hearts are right. We intend good. And it's fun for the kids. And besides, what would the economy do without it? It says verse 46, which one of you can convict me of sin? So in the scriptures that I read here, which one of you is going to convict me of sin? See? But if I speak the truth, why don't you believe me? The one who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear, because you are not of God. And that's what it is with the religions of this world. Now turn back, please. Turn back, please, to verse 31. John 8, verse 31. Therefore Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you continue in my word, now if you're a Christian, do you know the words of Christ? Do you live by them? Do you understand them? Do you believe them? He says, if you continue in my words, you are truly my disciples. And you shall know the truth. See, so there's a process. First of all, you have to believe Jesus. Then you have to believe what he says. And then you have to continue in his words. It's time and a process. Then you shall know the truth. That means you will understand the word of God. And the truth shall set you free. That doesn't mean free to do whatever you want and desire. This means set you free from sin. Set you free from lies. Set you free from the traditions of men and the works of Satan, the devil, who is a liar. Now, since we're in John, we'll look at one thing more. Because the ultimate goal of what we're going to do, the ultimate goal of how you're going to worship God, Jesus defined. Let's fast forward this tape, please, and turn it to the other side. Now let's see how God wants us to worship. Let's come here, John 4 and verse 23. Because a lot of people think that in keeping Christmas and Easter and New Year's and Halloween, they're worshiping God. And they go to Mass and it's all religious, and they go to Christmas services and sing Christmas carols, and it's all wonderful and fine, you see. But it's a big, fat lie. And God is not worshipped with a lie. Because remember a profound truth. You can never worship the God of truth with a lie. That's why when you come to God He requires repentance. Repentance of our deceitful nature, repentance of our lies, repentance of the way that we have lived contrary to His laws and commandments. Verse 23, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. It's the only way you can worship God. Not in ritual, not with idols, not with statues, not with weeping Madonnas, not with beads, not with religious garb, but in spirit. And in truth. In other words, it has to be from the heart. Broken heart, a contrite spirit, and you tremble at the word of God. God will accept that. God is no respecter of persons. But everybody has to come to God on God's terms. No one comes to God on their own terms. Shall worship Him in spirit and truth, for the Father is indeed seeking those who worship Him in this manner. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must. That means it's obligatory and required. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, let's look in the Old Testament. Let's see some things that are very important. What God says. Remember, His word is truth, both Old Testament and New Testament. And understand something, there's a profound principle which is true, which is this, as John wrote in 1 John 2 and verse 21. No lie can come of the truth. Very important. So let's see what we have here. Let's go, first of all, let's look at the nature of man and his way. And we've already seen some of the errors, but let's look at a couple more. Let's come to Proverbs 14, and here's one to remember. And as I read this, I want you to think about human history. I want you to think about all of those down through history who were thinking they were doing right. Now, Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. That's what happens to the man's way. So if it seems right to people to keep Easter and Christmas and Halloween and all those things, by the way, I'm going to mention two books which will tell you the truth about it in detail. One of them you can download from our website, section by section, if you desire. It is The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. And the other one is, we don't have on the website, you might find it in the library, it's called The Golden Bough by Sir George James Frazer, or James George Frazer. Now, originally it's 12 volumes, but there's a one volume summary. And you will see how that Satan has been busy from day one, inspiring and producing various religions with various counterfeits, so that when the true Christ came, there would be nothing but confusion. Sound like a tactic that you see today in operation in many different things? Yes, indeed. That's why you need to stick to the Bible, because there's a way that seems right. It seems right. Now, let's look at another one. Let's come to Proverbs 16 and verse 2. Proverbs 16 and verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Now remember the man who murdered 47 women? They couldn't bring the death penalty against him because he wouldn't confess or lead the police to where the bodies were buried. But he started out by killing prostitutes as a favor for the policeman. Every way of a man is clean in his own eyes. There's a way that seems right to a man. The ends thereof are the ways of death. Now, those are extreme examples, but it fits the same thing with what we're talking about here, how you worship God. Okay? Now, let's come to Exodus 20 and verse 1. Exodus 20 and verse 1. Here's where the Ten Commandments are given, which, by the way, in all Catholic catechisms, they show the lie. They removed the second commandment concerning idolatry so they can keep the idols in their churches and their cathedrals. And in order to make 10, they split the 10th commandment into two parts. However, in every Catholic Bible approved by the Pope, Exodus 20 has the second commandment in it. So they are caught with their own devices and their own lies. Let's begin right here in verse 1. Exodus 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, what did he do on that Passover night? We'll talk about the Passover and Holy Days a little later. What did he do on that first Passover night with Israel? When he passed over at midnight and spared the firstborn of the children of Israel, what did he say he did? He judged all the gods of Egypt and proved by his power that they were nothing, that they were worthless, that they were demonic. Brought them out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Not only the physical slavery that they were in, but also the slavery of false religion. Here's an emphatic command because of that. See, the first commandment begins with verse 2 and includes verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. None. That's the very first commandment. So how can people take the gods of the nations and say they're justified to do it? Because there's a way that seems right to a man, and the ends thereof are the ways of death. Now, after God gave the Ten Commandments and gave some of the statutes and judgments, the covenant was confirmed. All the people said, yes, we will do what God has commanded, all the words that he has said we will do, and be obedient. Now then, let's come to chapter 32. Let's see how that those words, even spoken, and God will hold you to your words, so you better intend that they be right. Now, Exodus 32 and verse 1. Now, we don't know how many days lapsed between that, but Moses went back up on a mountain and he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. So this is probably, what, day 40 day 30, because he was there 40 days and 40 nights. So whatever took place in Exodus 32 took a little time. How long, we don't know, so I'm just making a guess here. Verse 1. And when the people saw Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us, for as this Moses, the man, that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. After all, the mountain was smoking on fire. Who knows? Maybe he fell into a lava pit up there and is burned up. So it shows how quickly people turn aside from the true God. Here they did. What did they do? They reverted right back to the worship they had in Egypt. And we'll see what they did. Make us gods. And God said, you shall have no other God before me. Didn't last long, did it? So Aaron, who should have never done this, he should have said, look, wait. God is true. Moses is his servant. Now you just calm down here and wait. No, like too many ministers today, he's weak-kneed, willy-nilly, and goes by the demands of the people rather than the demands of God. Just like one minister who knows, and there are a lot of them who do, that the seventh day, Saturday today, is the true Sabbath of God. He knows it. But said, I couldn't possibly tell my parishioners because none of them would show up. So that's the way Aaron was. So he said, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them to me. And all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. He received them at their hand, fashioned it with a graving tool, and after he made it, a molten calf. Now, calf or young bull. That's one of the gods of Egypt that God judged, wasn't it? And who does the bull, and you can see this when you watch some of these documentaries on ancient Egypt, they have a bull with the horns and they have the big sun disk in it. That was an idol to Baal. Baal is the sun god. His day of worship is Sunday. His holidays are Christmas and Easter and New Year's. So that's what they did. Made a calf. And they said, these be your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Just like people always do. Take the characteristics of false gods and idols and attribute them to the true God. God has nothing to do with that. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast unto the Lord, a self-proclaimed illegal feast to a pagan god given by the one who was to be the high priest for Israel. You see, Satan likes to get right in there at the top, doesn't he? And subvert them. No one understand this. Regardless of what any man says, regardless if he's considered important, holds a high office, is revered as the most righteous man on the earth, such as religious leaders today, like the Pope and the Dalai Lama, and they proclaim a feast contrary to what is in the Bible, which they do, and all of them are, it's a lie. But notice who they dedicate it to. To the Lord. With the other gods. We are going to see this was the sin of Israel over and over and over again to this very day. When we talk about Israel, we're not talking about the people who call themselves Jews. We're talking about all the 12 tribes which came from Israel, which includes United States and Britain, and the sons of Ephraim and Manasseh, the descendants of Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Joseph. So here's what they did. They planned this. Oh boy, we got to get a good start here. So they rose up early on the morrow. Wonder if they had sun worship. After all, the calf had the big disc between his horns. Symbolized the sun, right? Why get up early in the morning if it's not to be there when the sun comes up? And offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. They had a big sex party. They had a gigantic rock concert. So then God says, get you down, this people which you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Every time the children of Israel did wrong, it's the people Moses brought up. Well, we could get into a whole long story of this. Moses came down, broke the Ten Commandments written with the finger of God on the two tablets of stone. He was angry. He saw the people all naked. And he got after Aaron for doing it. Now let's come to verse 26. This is where we all fit into this. This becomes important. So we need to ask ourselves a question. What will I do? Will I stand for God? Or stand for the way that seems right to me? Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Just like Elijah, where we started, right? How long haunts you between two opinions? Let him come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. So they showed a love and zeal for God. Apparently they stood off on the side when all of this was going on. And they were probably absolutely shocked to see what Aaron did, who is also a son of Levi. And he said to them, verse 27, thus says the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor. The wages of sin is death. And in this case, it was swiftly executed. Question. What does God think about taking pagan deities and attaching the name of God to it and say it's a feast of God? There's your answer right there. It's sin. The wages of sin is death. So there fell 3,000 people. All right, let's go on. Let's look at some other things here. Let's come to Exodus 34. After that instance, Exodus 34, verse 12. So God gives Israel warning. Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you go, lest it be for a snare in the midst of you. But you shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, on the Hebrew, it reads a little different. Their altars you shall destroy. Their images you shall break. Their groves you shall cut down. What does God think about idolatry and these false religions? Verse 14, he gives a warning. You shall worship no other god. Well said after what they did, right? For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Remember that. If you name the name of Christ, you need to depart from sin, which includes not only breaking the last six commandments, but the first four. Now, verse 15, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call you, and you eat his sacrifice. And you take of their daughters unto your sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make your sons go a-whoring after their gods, you shall make you no molten gods. Pretty profound, isn't it? Now remember, this is the Word of God, and this is truth. Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe the truth of God? Notice what he says right after that, verse 18. Instead of the pagan holidays, he says, the feast of unleavened bread you shall keep. Now we'll get into keeping those a little bit later. Okay? Let's come to Deuteronomy 18. Let's see what else he said. This is true. Remember, these are the words that God spoke. And do you think because you have an opinion contrary to that, that you are right and God is wrong? Never happened. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9. When you are come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Shall not learn it. Are there idols abominations? Yes. Are there religious practices abominations? Yes. Hold your place here and come to Revelation 17. Let's see where these started from. Oh, Satan was busy. He knew God's plan when he was cast down after he rebelled against God. Just like everything else, he probably said in his heart, I'm going to thwart the plan of God, and I'm going to have so many counterfeits and so many religions, and I'm going to spawn them over all the earth, and no one will be able to understand the truth. See, but God is the one who calls. God is the one who's given his word. And God is the one who's caused billions of Bibles to be printed and distributed in the world. So no one has an excuse. If it's there, but you don't read it, it's not God's fault. Now, let's see what God says of this system. Revelation 17 and verse 1. Then came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come here, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore, which sits upon many waters. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, when you commit spiritual sins, called fornication, and spiritual drunkenness, you can't see and understand the truth. So you've got to stop both of them. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, and having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. We're going to see Christmas is an abomination to God. Easter is an abomination to God. Halloween is an abomination to God. Every idol and statue and cathedral and church that's filled with them is an abomination to God. Let me tell you a little story here. This cowboy came into the church and he had on his jeans, his cowboy boots, his cowboy hat, you know, the regular cowboy shirt. And this was a ritzy, hooty, tooty, snooty church. And they deigned that he came. So after services were over, the pastor came down and said, "Now, if you want to attend this church, you're going to have to change the way that you dress. Because these clothes are not acceptable to God." He says, "You go home and think about it." So the cowboy went home, he prayed about it, thought about it. He came back to church the next week, came with the same kind of clothes, same kind of shirt, had on his cowboy hat, and sat down in the congregation. And after services were over, the pastor came down to him and said, "Didn't I tell you that you should talk to God about this and that you need to change the way that you dress in order to attend this church?" He says, "Well, I did." He said, "Well, what did God say?" "God said, I've never been in that church." Think on it. Let's go on. Okay. Revelation 17, she's the mother of it. Looks beautiful. "And the woman was arrayed with all these things, purple, scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a cup full of in her hand, full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. Upon her forehead was a name written." That's the way she thinks and acts and is and does. Mystery. You can't understand it. Babylon the Great goes clear back to the first Saddam Hussein called Nimrod in the same land that is now called Iraq, which has probably been cursed with dictators from that day forward. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. That's what God thinks about these things. Doesn't matter what I think, but I'll tell you what I think. I think the way the Bible says we need to think about it. So the truth is, it doesn't matter what anyone else's opinion is. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. They aren't going to change God. And they aren't going to change the Word of God. And they can have thousands and thousands and millions and billions of people on their side. And it makes absolutely no difference and not one whit to God soever. Now, let's come back to Deuteronomy 18 again. Deuteronomy 18. Here's some things God said shall not be. "There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or daughter to pass through the fire." And what's one of the quaint religious things that comes from the East today? Walking on hot coals, right? Well, this was a little worse than that. They would dedicate a son or daughter who would be roasted to the god Baal, and the priest of Baal would eat the flesh of that little child, and that's where you get the name cannibals, priests of Baal. Kana Baal, priest of Baal. Or that uses divination. Or an observer of times, which includes Christmas and Easter and Halloween. Or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, which then is a male witch. Now notice, verse 12. Doesn't matter what your opinion is. Doesn't matter what people think. Matters what God says. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God does drive them out from before you. Now you do this. I challenge you to do this. Since we've had the great controversy concerning the Ten Commandments, you write down the Ten Commandments. Keep them handy by your television. Watch any documentary on any country you want to watch and ask the question, how many people in these documentaries that you see are suffering from various curses because they have idols, they have the wrong gods, they eat the wrong foods, they have wizards, they worship demons. And when you get down to the basest barbarian societies in the jungles scattered across the earth, you will understand why they are there and the curses that are upon them. Now God requires of those who are His, verse 13, you shall therefore be perfect with the Lord your God. For all these nations which you shall possess hearkened unto observers at times and diviners, but as for you, the Lord your God does not allow you to do so. So that's pretty clear, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? Surely, surely is. Now, so there's a lot to cover on this, so we'll continue it next time. The Canadian office, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, Postal Code K6V5V2. The Australian office, Post Office Box 81, Sale, Victoria, 3850. New Zealand office, 11 Consols Street, Waihai, W-A-I-H-I, Auckland. United Kingdom. Post Office Box 39, Tavistock, Devon, Postal Code, Devon PL, Postal Code 199RL, Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Wilro, W-I-L-R-O, Park, Postal Code 1731, Republic of South Africa.